Galatians chapter 6, verses 2 and 5. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And verse 5. For each one should carry his own load.
The title is Bearing Burdens Together. Now we have many burdens in this life. Due to the discord of sin, which is brought into the world by Adam's rebellion and disobedience, it seems that everything is hard. Life is hard. School is hard, and it just goes downhill from there. Work in your career is hard. Saving to buy a house is hard. Leading your wife is hard. Submitting to your husband as to the Lord is hard. Raising your children in the fear and instruction of the Lord is hard. Saving for retirement is hard. Then retirement itself is hard. Health troubles are hard. Old age is hard. And death, whether ours or another's, is hard. And that's just regular life. Spiritual life poses additional burdens. Temptation to sin, resisting sin, is hard. Persevering in the faith is hard. Growing in Christ and leading others in Christ is hard. Evangelism is hard. Persecution is hard. So no wonder we are burdened. No wonder that we are weary and heavy laden. But I have good news for the burdened and good news for the weary and heavy laden, and it's this: you can bear your burdens. God will not ask of you more than he will enable you to do. And then God himself promises to make you able. Indeed, God sends others to help you to bear your burdens, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And for those of you who don't know Jesus Christ, for those of you who have never trusted in him for salvation, for those of you who have never confessed Jesus Lord, I have good news for you too. If you are weary and heavy laden, if you are burdened by your sin, it is Jesus himself who said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11:28. So let's look at this idea of burdens. First, Jesus bore our burden. The greatest burden in this life is the burden of our sin. There is the burden of sin as a general matter. That's what I spoke about when I was saying life is hard. Life is hard because of sin. Before sin, it wasn't hard. Sin is the reason that everything is hard. But in the beginning, it was not so. God created man very good, and he placed him in the very good garden. He placed him with the very good vegetation and the very good living creatures. Genesis 1:1-26. Man and later woman were created in the image and likeness of God, and he blessed them. And unlike us, Adam was created very good, without a sin nature, a sort of a morally neutral being with the capacity and opportunity to sin or not to sin. Posse non peccare, possible not to sin. Well, there was certainly work to do in the garden. It wasn't laying about all day long doing nothing. God gave the man work to do. Genesis 1:28, fill the earth and subdue it. That's work. Genesis 2:15, the Lord God put the man in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. So there's work to do. And then God made the woman and put her with the man to help the man to do the work that God gave him. Genesis 2:20. So there was work to do, but it's not work in the sense that we experience work. It was not toilsome work, painful toil, it's called in Genesis 3:17. It was not laborious work. By the sweat of your brow, you will earn your food. It was not unfruitful and frustrating work like we sometimes experience. Genesis 3:18, God told them after their sin that the land would produce thorns and thistles instead of fruit. That's our experience due to sin. But their pre-fall experience was so much better. The land fruitfully yielding its plants and so on, without rot, without mildew, without mold, without frustration, without difficulty, without drought, and without dissipation. And there was perfect harmony between man and woman. The assignment was the same. But there was perfect harmony between man and woman. Yes, it was work for Adam to be the head of the wife. It was work for Eve to submit to her husband as to the Lord in everything. But they didn't have the conflict, the inner drive in each of them to rebel against God's order. They didn't have that conflict that we experience. There were no argument about who does the dishes, perhaps no dishes to do, but no argument about who does the dishes or who left their shoes in the path of travel. There was no passivity in Adam. There was no frustrating failure to lead as we experience. There was no nagging wife struggling for power in the marriage with her drip, 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 Proverbs 27, 15. There was work. There was work of headship and work of submission, but not the sin nature and the flesh, which makes it so hard for us to do that same work. But see, this conflict between husband and wife, this and every other problem we face is a result of sin, all of it. Every problem in life comes back down to sin. From our cancer to our disobedient children to dry rot on the roof and marital problems, etc., etc., etc. It all comes back to sin. That's why life at times seems so burdensome to us, because of sin. But the greatest burden of sin, though, is not this group of what you might call practical daily life problems. Those burdens are certainly real, but they are nothing compared to the burden of guilt that is brought about by our sin against God. Sin is not merely an abstract force out there in the world making things hard for us. Sin is in us, and each of us sins. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, all. Because of our sin, we each bear a huge burden of guilt before God. Psalm 38, verse 4, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. It is described elsewhere as an iron yoke, the iron yoke of sin, Deuteronomy 28, 48. Galatians 5, 1, which we studied, called it a yoke of slavery. A burden too heavy for us to bear. It's too heavy for us to bear because it's an infinite burden. Our sin against infinite God earns us an infinite penalty, an infinite burden of guilt that we have that we can't get rid of, that we can't solve on our own. As finite creatures, it is simply too much to bear. We could only be crushed under the burden of our sin forever, Matthew 25, 46. No other man or woman could bear the burden of sin for us. No one could give God a ransom for us. The ransom for a life is too costly, Psalm 49, verse 7. See, they have the same problem we have. Whoever tries to bear your sin for you, any mere man, that person is merely a person. That person is finite. That person is a sinner too. So as finite creatures trying to bear this infinite burden, we are just under that burden forever. We're under God's terrible judgment forever. It's fearsome, but it's also wearisome. It just gets old, being ground down by our sin, Matthew 11, 28. And so as we, finite people, go around trying to carry the infinite burden, the infinite and ever-increasing burden of our sin and our guilt, we grow weary, we grow heavy laden, we grow burdened, we grow tired, we grow desperate, we grow helpless. What can I do? I can't bear this burden. It's too much, and there's no way out. Well, praise the Lord, there is one who can bear our burden of sin, one who can pay the infinite price for our sin. His name is Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. See, he is very God, with God from the beginning, John 1:1. So he's not subject to our limitations. He is infinite, so he can bear the infinite sin. And he's holy, so he doesn't come with his own burden to bear. He is very God, but he became man to live a life for us and to die for us in order to bear the burden of our sin. He lived the sinless life in our behalf that we couldn't live, Hebrews 4:15, like us in every way and yet without sin. And he offered himself as a sacrifice of atonement for us to deal with our sin problem before God. We had that burden that was too heavy to bear, but he came and bore it for us. 1 Peter 2:24, he bore our sins in his body on the tree, speaking about the cross. Why? Why did he do it? Verse 24, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness, so that we might be healed in our spirits and qualified to dwell with God forever in glory. He was able to bear all of our sins for us as infinite God, and he did so. Jesus Christ is our great burden bearer. And so elsewhere we are told, cast all our burdens onto him. Cast all our cares onto the Lord, for he cares for us. Psalm 55:22 and 1 Peter 5:7. When we who are weary and burdened come to him, he takes all those burdens onto himself and he gives us rest. He gives us righteousness. He gives us peace. He gives us security, eternal security, the shalom, the peace of knowing that I am in God, that that heavy burden that I cannot bear has been borne by another, Matthew 11:28. So the solution to your weariness, to your heavy ladenness, to your burden, the solution is come to Master Jesus. Trust in him and cast all your burdens onto him. Cast the great burden of your sin onto him. Cast your guilt onto him. Take hold of his promise to deal with your sin problem by faith. Enjoy union with Jesus Christ, who can bear your sins. Enjoy the forgiveness of your sins, the lightness that comes from having been heavy burden, but having laid that burden down for God. Come to the cross of the Savior, Jesus Christ, and leave the burden of your sin at his feet. Jesus bears our greatest burden, of course, the burden of sin, but he also carries all our other burdens. 1 Peter 5:7 doesn't just say, cast your sin problem at his feet. It says, cast all your cares, all your burdens onto him, for he cares for us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. See, God loves us and God cares for us. And so he is with us to help us with all of our troubles. He is the God of all comfort, we are told in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. He is the Father of compassion. So he sees our burdenness, not just from sin, but from the other troubles of life that we have. He sees our burdenness. He sees us going down, down, down under the heavy load of burden. And he says, come, give it to me. I'll carry it for you. If we are burdened by worry, by anxiety, by fear, he comforts us and says what? Be not afraid. I go before you. Elsewhere, he says, fear not. I am with you. If we're severely tempted, he provides a way out for us. He sees our problem. He sees our temptation, and he provides a way out for us. 1 Corinthians 10:13. That is another way of helping us to bear our burdens. If we're hard pressed in temptation and trouble, his grace abounds more to help us to bear up and to persevere. Romans 5, verse 20. In fact, we're told elsewhere, 2 Corinthians 9:8, that he makes all grace abound to us so that in all things, at all times, having all that we need, we may abound in every good work. So when we think the burden is too heavy for us to carry, it's too heavy for me to deal with and I can't do anything else, God says, my grace is more. If we are poor and we are hungry, he bears our burdens by providing at least food and clothing for his people. For he is our Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. He is God with us to help us and to bear every burden if we belong to him. In fact, in a certain sense, all of our burdens are from him, or at least we can say he permits them in his sovereignty. See, he's sovereign over all, so nothing happens unless he causes it or permits it. So why? Why does he allow us to be burdened? And the answer is for our good. Romans 8:28, in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. And we can see the biblical examples. God wrote these things down for our encouragement so that when we're burdened, when we're tired, when we think there's no end, when we think there's no point, when we think we're suffering pointlessly, God reminds us there is a point to our burdens. Think of St. Paul in Galatians, which we've been studying. In chapter 4, he describes a severe illness that he had. And God permitted it for a reason, so that St. Paul could come and could preach the gospel to these Galatians and stay with them for an extended period, so they could develop a deep and a lasting bond of relationship with this man of God who would lead them through their future spiritual troubles. Or think of the man born blind in John chapter 9. He was given that burden of blindness so that the work of God might be displayed in his life, John 9 verse 3. Or the widow of Zarephath, or the demoniac. They all had burdens, but God had a purpose, a good purpose, an eternal purpose, a glorious purpose in permitting them to bear their burden. Now, if that's true for all those people, it is also true for you. It's true that our troubles are often caused by our own sin. We don't deny that, and we should always examine ourselves and repent if that is the case. If we suffer a trouble, it's good to ask, is this because of my sin? But it is frequently the case that our burdens are from God for our good, perhaps to cause us to depend upon him, to build up our faith when he miraculously delivers us, to prepare us for some future thing that is coming that he knows about but we don't, to put us in contact with others for their salvation, to show his glory through us in this world. So what I'm saying here is don't fear any burden or trial. It's for your good. If you're in Christ, then he is with you to help you to bear that burden, and he is using it perhaps to form you, perhaps to shape you, perhaps to prepare you, to do some work on you. But that burden is not out of his control. It's under his control, and he's using it for good. So do with that burden what he tells you to do. Cast it onto him, and let the peace of God guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 4 through 6. And if you're outside of Christ, God is sending that burden too, and for a good purpose. He's using it to point you to himself, to point you to your need for him, for your need for eternal salvation. So stop the miserable and frustrating task of trying to bear your own burden of sin in this life on your own. You cannot do it. No one can do it. It's too heavy to bear. Instead of bearing that burden, come to the cross. Come to Jesus. Lay down your burden. Bow your knee to Jesus Christ as Lord. Confess him as Savior, and he will take away your burden of sin. He has a burden for you too. He has a yoke for you too, but it's easy and light. It's good and it's pleasant. And if you're in Christ, don't carry your burden around heavy laden. Do what God says to do with it. Cast it onto him. Receive the grace that God has available for you. Cast your burden onto him and let him shoulder it for you. Point number two, carry each other's burdens. Chapter 6, verse 2. This is our principal text. This is a command from God. Carry each other's burdens. As Christians, we must carry one another's burdens. It is mandatory. It is not optional. And the word used for burden here in chapter 6, verse 2, describes an overwhelming heavy load, a load that's too heavy for that other person to carry, no matter their diligence. So God has given somebody a great burden, and he's commanded the rest of us to help that person to carry that burden. It is a mandatory command, and it is a universal command to all Christians. In God's church, each one must help others to carry their burdens. No one is exempt. Now, there are many people who think that they are exempt. Well, the pastor should carry my burden for sure, right? That's for sure. That guy should carry my burden. My mom and my dad, they should carry my burdens. My husband should carry my burdens. Or those other people who appear to be physically or spiritually strong. Perhaps they have extra gifting. Yes, they should carry burdens. But not me. I am exempt. I am too young to help other people carry their burdens. Or I am too old to help other people carry their burdens. Or due to my sickness or infirmity or syndrome, I cannot help anyone carry their burdens. Due to the fact that I am very, very busy and I have an important job and I have two or three kids, I could not possibly help someone else carry their burdens. Or sometimes I have carried enough burdens for others in the past and I need a break. We come up with all kinds of reasons why we think we're exempt. It's not true. None are exempt from this command. You say you are too old to carry a burden. I say you have wisdom to share with those who need it. See Titus 2 and Job chapter 12. You say you are too young to carry a burden. I say you can carry others' burdens by serving, by helping with the cleanup, by doing what you are supposed to do in your home or for your sainted teacher. By doing so without being babysat and having someone sit on top of you, or even just doing extra things as you go from place to place. You say you are one of those very, very busy college students. I say that you have the most free time now in your life that you will ever have. Go and serve others in your free time. If you're an actually busy adult with kids and jobs and other responsibilities, well, it's true, there may be a season that limits your ability to carry burdens for others, but limited does not mean excused entirely. Are you sick or are you infirm? At least you can pray. You're stuck there on your sick bed. You should be praying for yourself, but you can pray for others. And if you can't think of anyone else to pray for, you can please pray for me. I have enough burden. You can help me to bear it in prayer. And I know that there are many people who do that often to help me carry the heavy burden of ministry. And I am, in fact, profoundly grateful for that. The point is that everyone can and must help everyone else to bear their burden. You may not be the person to come and carry the heavy boxes at the move, but you can be the person to pray. This idea to carry one another's burdens is in large part why God has joined us together in a local body of Christ. The church exists to shine the light to the world and to call lost sinners and to help those lost sinners live new lives and live as new creations in Jesus Christ. The church is often analogized to a building. Well, look around and ask yourself, what are all the parts of the building doing? They're simply serving the other parts. They're bearing the burdens for the other parts. Posts hold up beams. Beams hold up the roof to keep out the rain, to keep the floor from rotting. Walls are supported by the frame, and they keep out wind and dirt and intruders. Windows so we can see. Toilets to take away unpleasant things. Pipes, foundations, doors. What are they doing? They're all working together to carry a different part of the burden for the rest of the building so that the building may fulfill its purpose that God has for it. So my point here is to have a burden-bearing mindset. How can I help carry the burden of the church? Preaching and teaching, youth ministry, nursery, academy, security, usher, audio, visual, maintenance, cleanup crews, and so on. How can I help carry the burden of all the things that have to be done? And we have a good history of that here too. In fact, we have an exemplary history of that here too, thanks to Pastor Matthew. There are always many hands in this place to make the work and the burden lighter. But we've got to purpose to keep at it and extend that idea of bearing burdens and especially to pass it on to a second and a third and a fourth generation. Otherwise, we will begin to take this mutual burden bearing for granted and we will lose it. Also, we ask, how can I help carry the burdens of my brother and sister in Christ? When speaking about burdens here, it's speaking about all kinds of burdens that we have. It's not just the work that takes place in the church, church business, so-called. We are to carry one another's burdens in all parts of life. We can never look at our fellow brother and sister and say, not my problem. The reality is, it is my problem because we're all one body. We are all the body of Christ in the local church. Now you think about your body. There is no problem that one part of your body has that's not a problem for the rest of it. There is no toe problem that is not my problem, or that's not the eye's problem. When the Holy Spirit knits us together as one and joins us as one body, then we share all the burdens. Because the toe doesn't have any burdens. It's the whole body that has that burden. I recently told a young lady coming to Christ that she is now our sister in Christ. So there's no longer her problems and burdens and my problems and burdens. There's just our problems and burdens. And this should be our attitude, not a take care of me attitude. It doesn't say each one is to expect or demand that others carry their burdens. That's not what this verse says. It says carry one another's burdens. It says you look, and you look to carry the burdens of the other person. So have that mindset. I know every time I preach something, it seems somebody gets the wrong message, right? You preach bear burdens, and then someone will come along and say, you must bear my burden. He said it from up there. No, that's not what I said. I said you bear the other person's burden, not you go and whip them to bear yours. Notice also it says in verse 2 that in so doing, fulfill the law of Christ. It says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. It's an unusual phrase that you don't see elsewhere in the Bible. So what law of Christ? It is the law of love. John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. How has he loved us? Sincerely, generously, sacrificially, other-oriented for the good of the other, unselfishly, joyfully, and willingly. The idea is way back from the Old Testament, Leviticus 19:18, love your neighbor as yourself. If you love a person and you see that person struggling to carry a giant heavy object down the street, you don't just drive by and look the other way. You stop and you help that person carry that burden. If that's true for the minor and passing physical things of this world, how much more for the greater spiritual burdens that we have, or for the burden of our worries and our cares and our fears about this life? Now, it can be, in fact, it will be costly to obey the law of love. It will be costly to help bear another person's burden. It will cost you your time. It will cost you possibly your money or your other resources. But we're told in James chapter 2, we cannot just give that person good wishes, right? We cannot simply say, stay warm and well fed. We must get up and do something. Pastor would say, with respect to money, that the rich are God's bank, storing up money for God to give to those in need, 1 Timothy 6:17. So it takes time, it takes money, it takes resources, it takes my effort and my energy to carry another's burden. I have to get in there and lift, right? That's energy. I cannot stand by and just give directions. I've got to get in there and lift. The command here is not to stand by and encourage or shout, lift harder, right? No, you are supposed to get in there. Now, once you're in there lifting, then you can say lift harder, right? But you've got to get in there and lift in the first place. It's gritty, sweaty work to bear another's burdens. But this fulfills the law of Christ, the law of love. So it takes my time, my money, it takes my energy, it takes my resources, it takes my effort. And I also must take risks to carry another person's burden. The risk of loss, the risk of injury, the risk of missed opportunities to do other things. But I cannot avoid carrying the other person's burden by saying, well, I might get hurt or I might get burned by that person if they abandon the faith later, as Demas did to Paul. No, I've got to carry the other person's burden, but I've got to bear the risk of helping carry that person's burden in order to fulfill the law of Christ. It's also going to cost me my patience to bear someone else's burden. It can be very, very difficult to help someone carry their own burden. That person may be slower than you. They may be less strong than you. They may be less competent than you at solving problems. In fact, it's probably why they need your help to carry those burdens in the first place. But we've got to exercise patience and get in there and help them. It can be burdensome indeed to help others bear their burdens. But in doing so, we fulfill the law of Christ. In doing so, we fulfill one of God's major purposes for the church, to help one another. So when you go and help carry that other person's burden, it's not really so much you helping that person as God helping that person through you. Think of it that way. And in so doing, we obey many other scriptural commands, especially to use our God-given gifts to serve others and to build up the church. That's the reason that God gave us those gifts that we have, 1 Peter 4, verse 10. Never grow weary in carrying burdens for others. God commands it. The Greek here that's used for this carry others' burdens is an imperative. It's a command. It fulfills, carrying the burdens fulfills Christ's law of love. And God equips us to carry those burdens by the gifts that he gives to us. And if that doesn't convince you, remember this. Other people are bearing your burdens all the time, physically, spiritually, and so on. It is a joy to do so, to carry others' burdens, and it is fulfilling, for we are most fulfilled and most content when we are in God's will. Next point, carry your own load, verse 5. So before we leave this text, we got to address verse 5. And verse 2 says, carry one another's burdens. And verse 5 says, carry your own load. There is, of course, no conflict between these two commands, verse 2 and verse 5. It's even a different word that's used in Greek. So in verse 2, it talks about the burden. It's overwhelming and too huge for anyone to carry. Verse 5 talks about your load. Think of it as your portion, your piece of the problem that you are to bear. In the first case, it's a burden that's too great for that person to bear. In the second case, it's your assigned portion. We are to carry each other's burdens, but we also have a responsibility to carry our own to the degree that we are able. There are a lot of take care of me people in our society, and that attitude exists in the church. Sometimes the take care of me attitude is out of sheer laziness. They don't want to obey God's command to work 6 days. So you should obey God's command to work 6 days and give it to me so that I don't have to. They don't want to obey God's command to earn the bread that they eat. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 12. But they are looking for a handout, for a free deal. Such people are bums, disobedient bums. And God opposes bums, like the sluggard who loves to lie in bed or the fool who wants to chase fantasies instead of working for his bread. Proverbs 12, verse 11. God commands us to work and is always working himself. And so we too must be people to work. Remember, way back at the beginning, we're created to what? Work and care for the garden. So God opposes bums, and we too must oppose bums and never support their bummery under the guise of helping bear their burdens. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 reminds us, if a man will not work, he shall not eat. Now, don't use that as an excuse to avoid carrying burdens or to be charitable. It didn't say, if a man cannot work, he shall not eat. It says, if a man will not work, he shall not eat. And so sometimes it is not sheer bummery or laziness. Someone has a legitimate period of medical infirmity or being overburdened by their problems. This is the kind of burden spoken about in verse 2. And so we get in there and we help that person carry their own load. It's too much for them to carry, and so we've got a piece of it. It's good and right to help such people in their times of need, and we do that here in this church to help them carry their burdens. But sometimes, especially after a long course of being helped with legitimate need, sometimes people get used to it. It's nice to have other people waiting on me and doing my work. It's nice to be the center of attention. Not for me, but I'm told. It's nice to be the object of sympathy. It's nice to have my husband at my beck and call or brothers and sisters in the church. And it's a lot easier than taking care of my own portion. And so I settle in. I'm not saying they're faking it, But you just get used to it. You just let others go on handling things instead of trying to get well so I can carry the portion of the burden God has assigned to me. So I carry the portion of the burden that I can. It's much easier to let someone else do it than to be responsible. We must be careful not to do that, and we must be careful not to create, promote, or engender dependency in others. In our zeal to fulfill the command to carry one another's burdens, let us also be careful to do no harm. I've said in other forms, to make sure that our help helps rather than harms. This generally means carrying others' burdens with discernment and under authority. And for those who are the objects of help, I say, yeah, receive the help. That's a difficult command for some people too. Receive the help. Be thankful for the help to God and to others. But then do what you can to carry your portion of that burden. Even if the whole thing is too great for you, carry the piece that you can carry. Purpose, to push the boundaries of what you can do within reasonable limits and discernment, but push the boundaries so that you can get back to carrying your own load and so that you can get back to helping others more. Don't be a thief or a self-focused person looking to take, take, take like the leech of Proverbs 30, 15. And even in your infirmity, as I said earlier, help others where you can. Help with prayer, help with small things. And always be, whether you're the helper or the helpee, always be under God's delegated authorities, pastors, husbands, parents, and so on, who can oversee and help us to strike the difficult balance between doing uncomfortable work and trying to carry a heavy burden that is simply too much for you. And in conclusion, I want to say all this is really describing is life together in the kingdom of God. It is the Christian life to carry one another's burdens and to have others carry ours. It is the covenant life to live together in God's order, to help one another in love. It's community life, and we've had it for many years in this place, and we've been blessed by it, and we've benefited from it. We've experienced people helping one another in love. We've experienced people benefiting from the carrying of one another's burdens, and in that, somehow, strong, strong bonds of Christian fellowship result, so that years and years and years later, we have the good and pleasant life together. We also have that foundation in Christ, but also the foundation of a life lived together for Christ. May we continue to do so, and may we fulfill the law of Christ. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for burdens, and we thank you for the opportunity to carry others' burdens and to have ours carried. Help us, O Lord, to do so according to your commands, for your glory and for our great benefit. In Jesus' name, amen.